Calhoun, South Carolina. The interview is taking place in Clemson, South Carolina at the Clemson Downs on August 31, 1988. The interviewer is W.J. Meganson, and I am talking to...
Beth Anderson.
May I ask how old you are?
Yes, I am 85.
Okay. May I then ask when you came to Clemson?
I came here about 1930.
How did you wind up coming to Clemson?
I had finished Winthrop and had taught a few years, and I decided that I would go into secretarial work, and I came here and was a secretary to Dr. G.H. Allen and worked at the university.
And what was his position at that time?
He, at that time, was head of the Department of Agricultural Economics and Rural Sociology.
He was a very important man around the college.
Yes, he was, and was really... had done a great deal for the college. At previously, I had really worked with him on this land grant. He had acquired some land for a university, and I had worked with him briefly there, but mainly I had worked at the university.
Mm-hmm. When you first came to the college to work, which building were you in?
Long Hall. I assume it is still called Long Hall. I've been away a good while, and things have changed, and I haven't kept up with it.
It still is. Was it, I assume, much newer at that stage?
I beg your pardon?
You must have been relatively new when you went there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you remember how much you were paid when you first came to the college?
Oh, I'm sorry. I do not remember. I had taught school and was paid practically nothing. I just remember I was paid a little bit more, but I do not know what I was. I would be afraid to say.
But at least better wages than you had been accustomed to.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
How long was your work week?
At that time, we worked 5.5 days a week. Mm-hmm. Half a day on Saturday.
And how often did you get paid?
Once a month.
Mm-hmm. Must have been some very difficult days the last week or
payday. Yes, yes.
I understand when you came to Clemson, it wasn't as an unknown, but that you already had some relatives here.
Yes, I had an uncle here who was named Franklin Scales, who was rather kind of a old-timer. He had come about the time the university opened, and he had a livery stable down the street, you know. And he, of course, had hacks, I guess you would call them, and he would meet... the train at Sherry's, which was a train that ran from Anderson to Walhalla, I believe. And he would send his team over there to meet them, and he would bring the trunks all over, and he would also have a carriage to bring the boys over.
Did he also meet the Calhoun train?
Yes, he did. But I don't remember about his meeting... you know, about bringing trunks from Calhoun. I don't remember that. It was mainly from Cherries that I remember.
Well, of course, that would also have access to the whole southern part of the state.
Right. Yes,
and
yes.
The Southern Rail would not cover as much of South Carolina, so that may well be the reason.
Yeah.
How were you related to Frank Clinkscales?
He was my uncle. He was my mother's brother.
So your mother was a Clinkscale?
My mother was a Clinkscale, correct.
And she married?
She married Joe Anderson, who was a country doctor down in Abbeville County.
And what was your mother's name?
Minnie Caroline Clinkscales.
I take it that your Uncle Frank Clinkscales was also from Abbeville.
Well, he came originally from in Anderson County, you know, in the country down close to Abbeville County, but he originally came from Anderson County.
He apparently was in Abbeville County, at least in 1900. I found him in the census
there. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know when he came to Clemson?
Well, I wish I had gotten out some things to... I had one or two letters that I thought you might like. He came about the time the college opened. Mm-hmm. That was about in the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Must have come just a little bit later since he was still in the census.
Still in the census, yeah. Maybe in the early 1900s. Right. Yeah, I'm not sure. I told you I wasn't sure about these things.
Did you know when he first came that he had a general merchandise store?
No.
I found his ads in the old Tigers.
Did you really?
And he ran the general merchandise store for a year or two.
I didn't know that.
Then sold out all of his stock to Winslow Sloan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In fact, he did have the livery stable at the same time, and apparently he consolidated all of his efforts on the livery stable.
Yeah.
Who was Klinkscale's wife?
Cora Crowell. And at one time, I don't know when, but Uncle Frank was in business with Jake Crowell. That was Klinkscale's and Crowell. And Jake Crowell was, of course, his brother-in-law.
Do you have any idea how long they stayed in business together?
I do not know.
He was also in business fairly early on with a man by the name of Smith.
That I do not know about.
Again, from old ads and the Tiger. You can learn all sorts of things from those, yes.
I really, some of these things happened before I came to Clemson, you know, all these things. And then when I came to Clemson, I really was with my brother, who is Frank Anderson.
Okay, we'll talk about him in just a few minutes. Okay. Was the livery stable still in operation when you came to Clemson?
Yes.
Where was it?
Back of Judge Keller's store. It was not on the main thing. It goes back of the present police station. Back of whatever this store is over here. It's a bookstore or something of that kind. It was not on Main Street.
So it faced on a little side street?
Well, the entrance to that, you had to come out here to this street to get it. It was an alley that went up by here.
Did the alley leave off of College Avenue?
Yes.
From nearer Winslow Sloan's?
Yes.
And you just followed that lower alley back in. Did the entrance face the college or away from the college?
Away from the college.
So it was facing toward Keller's or thereabouts?
Right, that is correct. Mm-hmm.
So you'd actually have to make a fairly wide U
around
that alley into the livery stable.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
What all did your uncle have at the livery stable? Did he keep his animals there?
Yes.
And hacks?
Yes, he did. And at one time, I think I'm correct in saying that his office was back here, but the barn where he kept some things was kind of on College Avenue.
Mm-hmm. So it faced more on the...
Yeah.
But you had to go to his office to...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's where he named it, you know, with ice and coal and things of that kind.
Do you have any idea how many animals he had?
I certainly do not. I remember one time I had somebody let me have a... I brought my horse up here, and of course he kept it for me there, you know. But I do not know how many he had. He had a farm, and I'm sure that he had a good many with the farm, as well as with his transfer business.
Apparently, he, so to speak, shuffled the animals back and forth.
Yes.
He kept a lot of them stored out on the farm.
I think that must have been the case.
Where was the farm?
All right. It is on the road to Anderson. Let me see what the development is now. Of course, it's a development now. Off the road going to Anderson. And I cannot tell you exactly where. You know where the poultry farm, old poultry farm was? It was back of that. We would turn at the poultry farm and go back to the farm. Mm-hmm.
So you would leave off of the road to Anderson?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea how big a farm it was?
No, I do not.
Or what he raised?
Well, I'm sure at one time he did cotton. I'm sure he did that. I'm sure. I really do not know what he did.
I'm also told he had a sizable farm for corn and other fodder for all of his animals.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What types of animals would actually pull the luggage? Would that be mules or horses?
I think mainly mules. I think this is mainly mules.
Do you remember, would he have something like a large flatbed for the trunks, or what would he have used?
Sorry.
You don't remember?
No.
What about for people coming from the train station? What kind of carriage would he have had?
As I remember it, was not really a, it was kind of a buggy type thing rather than a carriage, maybe.
Did you ever ride in one of them?
Yes, I would come to, even before I came to Clemson to live, I would come up on the train and he would meet me there in a buggy.
Was it a fairly nice thing so that you might want to use it for a ride?
It wasn't real nice.
So it's not the type of thing that the college cadets might have wanted to hire him to drive them around with a date?
Well, our Aunt Cora, as I remember it, had a rather nice outfit that she drove around in. He would have her drive around in. And that was his only one that I remember that was really very nice.
So she was a chauffeur, a chauffeuress also herself. And do you know whether, in fact, the cadets would use this for courting, or?
Well, I have heard Uncle Frank say that, you know, that the cadets would come down to rent things from him.
What could they rent? Could they take out a carriage themselves?
That I don't know. I think so. I think so, but I do not know.
Offhand, that's the only logical thing I could figure they would be renting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, of course, that would give them a good deal more privacy, too.
Mm-hmm.
At that stage, I suspect it was fairly difficult to live in a small town to get privacy. Do you have any idea, just vaguely, how many carriages he might have had?
I do not know, but I would say few.
So they would have been in high demand.
Right.
At premium prices.
Yes, because they were not used constantly. Mm-hmm.
It's rather ironic, isn't it, that there used to be, in essence, taxi service.
Yes.
50, 60, 70 years ago, and you can't get that in Clemson today. Did your uncle convert to and have automobiles after they were available?
You mean in his business?
In his business, yes.
I would say no.
So he did not operate as, in essence, an early day rental car agency.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How late was he still running the hacks and the carriages?
Don't know.
After you came to Clemson, at any rate.
Yes, after he came, after, because he was still, I would come here, you know, before I came here to live, and I frankly can't separate that.
Where did Frank and Cora Klinkskills live?
On Seneca Road, at that time, next to, at what is now the Episcopal Church.
So they were right next door to that?
Yes.
Can you describe their house?
Well, I can describe the house. I assume was a house that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Was a story and a half.
Mm-hmm.
With the kitchen kind of, it was attached but off from the porch. And two bedrooms upstairs. No bathroom upstairs, of course. And as I remembered, one bathroom downstairs.
Porch?
Porch all the way around.
Columns? Or
columns, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Impressive looking house.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was set up on a hill overlooking the college,
yes.
So he had quite a strategic view.
And would sit on the front porch after. Later, I lived with Uncle Frank. I did not live with him when I first came to Clemson. And it was a joy to live with him, of course. And we would sit on the porch, you know, after supper and look over the college. You know, you should take all of these things down. I should have had a tape recorder.
Well, now we do, so, but we wish we'd had it earlier.
Yes.
I gather from an old photograph I saw yesterday of people out on Riggs Field that there were only about three houses between your uncle's house and the river.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not developed as it is
now. Mm-hmm.
Drew, you said the Episcopal Church was on one side. Do you recall who lived on the other side of him?
Yeah, Mr. Newman.
Mm-hmm. And who was he?
He was a professor at the university. I believe maybe of, I can't tell you what, but he was connected with the university. And then Mr. Newman, then there was a garden. Mr. Newman's garden was next to that. And then there was nothing, you know, until you got way down towards the river.
Tell me about Mrs. Newman.
You're talking about Mrs. C.C. Newman, the second Mrs. Newman?
Yes.
Because I did not know the first Mrs. Newman.
I understand the first Mrs. Newman was a daughter of
the president of Clemson, whose name was Strode, am
yes.
I right? Mm-hmm.
And what was her name?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember her at all.
Okay, tell us about the second Mrs.
All right.
Newman.
Mr. Newman married Ellie, was her name.
About when did this happen?
I would say in the late 20s. Mm-hmm.
Before you arrived to live in Clemson. Mm-hmm.
It was much talk about it about the time I arrived that Mr. Newman had married, you know, and had brought this lady up, who came up with her couple who were black, who was her, one was her cook, and the cook's husband, who lived in the little house in the back.
Do you remember their names?
Yes. Oh, I'm sure his name, Prudence was her name, and his name was Idley. Mm-hmm. And they lived in a little house, you know, on the alley. Uncle Frank had a little servant house on the alley also.
Do you remember the surname of...
No, I do not remember that surname.
And I understand that Mrs. Newman served meals?
Yes. She did not have a boarding house. She had paying guests. Mm-hmm. She made it very plain that it was not a boarding house.
What was the distinction?
Well...
Mostly in Vermont.
Yeah. But she had... the house was a rather large house, and she rented rooms. And she also served meals, and wonderful meals, she really did. And Prudence, who was her cook from down there, came, and she really ran a nice establishment, very reasonable. And not only the people that lived in the house would eat there, but other people would live there. Excuse me.
Okay, after the interruption with the phone.
All right, now maybe Uncle Frank and I lived next door, mm-hmm. and I was working, and Aunt Cora had died, and I was living with Uncle Frank, and we would go over to Mrs. Newman's for our midday meal. Mm-hmm. As I remember, when we first went, it was 90 cents, but she finally went up to a dollar.
For the lunch?
We only went for lunch.
Did she serve evening meals, except to the paying guests?
Yeah, to the paying guests, and I think... by reservation, if somebody wanted to come in, maybe she would serve an evening meal.
How many people could she serve at lunch?
Oh, one, two, at least 12, 600, I would say about 15.
Were these mostly college people who came for lunch, besides her paying guest?
Yes, mm-hmm. And she finally got quite a reputation, and people would drop in for lunch, and on a regular basis.
So either you had to have a standing agreement or make a reservation
yes.
with a few people. Mm-hmm. Could you describe what one of her lunches were like?
Wonderful. Everything tasted so good. Let me see. We did not have soup, as I remember. But we would have chicken or something of that kind. And usually rice or potatoes and nice vegetables. And usually a salad and a dessert.
And were these all served family style?
Family style. Mm-hmm.
Would there be more than one meat, or
no? Usually just the one meat. Just the one meat.
So very much a set meal.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any dishes for which she was particularly
skilled? I do not. I'm sure there were.
Hot homemade bread.
Yeah, wonderful bread. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Iced tea.
Iced tea or coffee, if you. But mainly iced tea.
Did she ever serve ice cream?
I don't remember that she did. Maybe that for that many people, it would have been rather difficult. I do remember that she was really a lady. She would sit at the head of that table and smoke cigarettes. And I think if the kitchen caught on fire, she would sit there and ring the bell and tell someone to do something about it. But she wasn't going to get up to do anything about it.
And I suspect that was an era in which it was fairly unusual for women to be smoking.
Yes, mm-hmm. And she smoked. And I think she wanted people to know that she was outgoing, you know. But she was really a lovely person.
You're talking about her, in essence, ringing the bell for something to happen during the lunch. Did she take part in any of the food preparation herself?
Only in an emergency.
Would she help bring any of the food from the kitchen and present it before?
No,
oh, okay.
No.
She must have, I assume, have had more than her cook.
She had others help her. I could remember some of the names of those black women who were helping her. They were my friends, you know, and I'd see them down the street and talk to them. But she would have, Prudence would be in the kitchen, but she would have some people to help.
You mentioned Mrs. Newman and Prudence coming from down there.
Yeah.
Where was down there?
Down in the lower part of the state, from, I believe it was a place called Estill, maybe, but it was in the lower part of the state.
Was she much younger than her husband?
Yes.
She was a single woman.
Yes, she was a single woman when she married and was much younger than Mr. Newman. And was I remember her telling me that Mr. Newman wanted to have a dinner for some of the men in the, you know, maybe a setback party or something, and she would have everything just beautifully arranged, you know, and he would tell her not to come in the dining room. He didn't want, and he said one time, had everything ready, and he came to her and said, well, you don't have napkins on the table. You know, she'd forgotten to put the napkins on the table. But she was really very good to Mr. Newman.
Was she something of a socialite in Clemson?
I would not say so.
So other than the meals, kept somewhat to herself?
Yes, yeah, somewhat to herself.
What about her paying guests? Did these tend to be long-term residents?
I remember that she had a professor who stayed in one of her downstairs best room. And you ought to talk to him. He
yes,
would be
yes.
wonderful. And he stayed there and stood by Mrs. Newman and kind of helped her. I don't mean he was paid to help her, but he was a real friend. And when she closed the house and had the sale, at that time she had moved to the Clemson house, and he said, you stay at the Clemson house, I stay here and take care of the sale. Because he had lived there a long time, and he is really the only one I remember who was a permanent. These others would come and go.
Do you remember his name?
Yes. I'm going to tell you later, but okay. Don't rush me.
You said the others would come and go. Would these be people who would stay just 3 or 4 nights, or are you talking about months?
I mean a semester, a college semester.
So these were mostly college people
also? Yeah, and sometimes students were there, though. Families were there. But not regular. I got to think of that man's name. I'm going to think of it before you leave.
Good. Do you remember how many people she could accommodate at one time?
You mean overnight?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I would say maybe as many as 10.
I assume since most of these were college people, they were pretty much of the same standing, social class, or whatever, as the other people who would come in for meals,
yeah.
So everybody would eat
yeah.
together.
Everybody
at
would eat
time.
Together. And it was really a rather nice meal, a nice time to sit down and enjoy your meal.
Now, she had 10 people at maximum staying there, and you said she could accommodate about 15 for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
That means not but about 5 extra
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, maybe some of these people who were staying here would say that they would eat somewhere else.
Do you have any idea what she may have charged the people who
no.
lodged there?
No.
Did you ever go over to or eat at my grandmother's boarding house?
I have been there, but I didn't ever eat there.
I was wondering if you could make any comparisons.
Yeah, no, I did not. That was a wonderful place, but I did not ever eat there.
The great bulk, I take it, of my grandmother's lodgers were people who were workmen working on the railroad or the road or whatever, and would have therefore been somewhat
yeah.
different
yeah.
from the type of people
yeah.
that
yeah.
That
mm-hmm.
Mrs. Newman would have kept.
Yeah.
You mentioned that your uncle had servants' quarters. Did he, I assume, have people living there?
Had a couple living there, a cook and her husband, and the husband usually worked at the university in some physical plant or something of that kind.
So they were unconnected with the livery operation?
Unconnected, yes, that is correct.
Do you remember their names?
Fanny Mack was the name of the cook that I remember who stayed there long, and her husband is dead. And I think Fanny has died recently.
Was Mack a surname?
Mack was a surname, M-A-C-K. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I am told that your uncle was mayor of Calhoun for a long time.
He was mayor, so I was told.
You don't remember that directly?
I don't remember that too much. It was kind of name only, I think. It was not a great deal.
Do you have any idea how long or which years he may have served as mayor?
No.
Well, let me raise a question for you, which I have. At least initially, the city limits of Calhoun extended only as far as the Presbyterian Church.
Mm-hmm.
Surely at some time, the city limits must have been extended to include his residence. If, in fact, he was able to be mayor of the town,
yes.
Wouldn't you think?
Yes, I would certainly think so.
Well, if you ever find out how or when, I would love to know.
I don't know about that, but I would certainly think it would have to be that.
Do you remember that he was mayor after you came to Clemson?
No.
You don't remember, or you remember that he wasn't?
I don't remember. I won't say he wasn't, but I don't remember.
After 37, for which period I have heard the city council mimics, I know other people were mayor, so he had to have been in earlier years.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea where the town meetings took place?
No. Do you think they had town meetings?
Well, at least the town council had to have met occasionally. And I don't know whether it was in your uncle's era, but I understand they met at times in either a filling station or the barber shop.
Yeah.
Or who knows, they could have met at the livery office at one time.
Bob Smith's filling station.
They met there, I think, for a while.
Yeah.
I'll certainly ask Francis fairly soon about that. I assume since you had so little sense, and there was probably little happening in the town politics, that you don't remember any others who would have been on the town council.
No.
Apparently, all the town records, such as existed prior to 1937, disappeared decades ago.
Yeah.
So we're
all right. Now, when did Leon Crawford become mayor after that?
He became mayor sometime after 1943,
I remember Leon Crawford being mayor, and I remember also that Uncle Frank thought a great deal of him.
And in the meantime, not quite, but approximately 37 to 43, Charlie Bennett was mayor.
Yes, he was, uh-huh. And that was, he married your aunt, didn't
you?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I also believe that a man by the name of Efting was mayor right after Bennett.
Carl Efting, whose wife lives at the dam.
Do you remember anything about his era as mayor?
No, I do not.
Or how long he served?
No, I do not.
When you came to Clemson, did you vote?
I certainly did. Uncle Frank would have died if I hadn't.
Where did you go to vote?
I don't know.
Would it have been the schoolhouse?
I don't know.
I know by the 1950s they were voting at the schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Would it have been the box store?
I do not know. I just do not know.
When did you graduate from Winthrop?
In 1925.
That was just about the time that women were first eligible to vote.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Was there much either interest or excitement at Winthrop about the prospect of being able to vote?
Not that I know about.
No major feminist or suffragette movement Winthrop?
No.
I understand that in some ways being at Winthrop at that time was not too totally dissimilar from being at Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
You had something of a type of uniform, I believe.
Yeah, and dressed in that blue suit and white blouse and a blue hat and go to church, march the line down to church, you know, and wore a blue skirt and a white blouse all the time.
You also had, I think, an official lights out.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
So fairly well regimented.
Yes. I think maybe it'd be kind of nice to have that now for people that have so much trouble.
When you were at Winthrop, did you meet any young ladies whom you would then encounter as friends after moving to Clemson?
Briefly, but not close friends.
I have used the phrase fairly loosely and ambiguously, coming to Clemson. When you arrived, what did you call the place that you moved to?
You mean Clemson?
Did you call it Clemson?
Yes.
So even though Calhoun was the name of the town.
Yeah, it was Clemson. And of course, the address was Clemson College, not just Clemson.
So you used the post office connected with the college.
Yeah, Clemson College. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At which time there was still another post office over at Calhoun.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's at least likely that you were living in what was technically Calhoun.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The names were kind of confusing, weren't they?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very.
You mentioned your brother Frank. Tell us some about him, if you will.
Well,
excuse me just a minute. Before we talk about him, we've only mentioned your uncle. Tell us anything more you can about Cora, other than you said she drove some of the...
And Uncle Frank, loved for her to dress up, you know. And they would go down to Anderson. The Mo Wilson was the main establishment to buy clothes. And he loved for her to dress up and get in that horse and buggy, you know, and to ride around the campus. She was a very lovely lady, and they had no children, and they were, I don't know that I can tell you anything really outstanding.
Was she a striking-looking woman?
No, she was not a pretty woman, but I would say maybe striking-looking. That's a pretty good way.
Tall?
Medium.
Slender?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did she ride horses also?
No.
Just purely in the horse and carriage?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Not a horse congresswoman of any kind. Mm-hmm. Do you, I won't ask you to look right now, but do you have any old photographs of Frank and Cora?
I think maybe I have one of Uncle Frank. I'm not sure about Aunt Cora, but I may have some somewhere. You know, when I moved out here, I got rid of some of the things.
Too early for us.
Yes,
unfortunately.
Yes.
Okay, tell us then, if you will, about your brother, Frank Anderson.
His name was Frank Linscales Anderson, and he, of course, grew up in the country down in Atherton County, where my father was a country doctor. And Uncle Frank kind of took him under his wing. And after he graduated from Clemson,
excuse me, what year was that?
1916.
So he was older than you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He graduated in 1916.
By nearly a decade.
Mm-hmm. And he left to go to the University of Wisconsin to do some graduate work. And as I understand it, while he was there, Uncle Frank and some of the town people, some of the local people at Clemson, decided to organize a bank. And Uncle Frank got in touch with Frank and asked him to come immediately to take over the bank, never having had any experience. But that was the beginning of the bank Clemson that Frank kind of started because of Uncle Frank's influence.
Isn't this traditional? If your uncle is head of the bank, then you can be the president
yeah,
right away.
That's right. That is right. Uh-huh.
What was the bank called?
Maybe it was called the Fort Hill Depository.
Was this the savings and loan or the bank?
No, it was a bank. And at that time, I remember nothing about the saving and loan. And it was a deposit. I'm not sure that this is correct. You know, all of this is what I remember. But I think it was a Fort Hill Depository.
Where was it located at that time?
All right. The store that is not...